How to invest $500 to $1,000. This is an interesting topic because I'm going to be making a lot of assumptions. If you have $500 to invest, which is a good amount of capital, but it's still a low amount of capital if you look at the long term of your investing journey, because eventually you will want to invest more than $500. But if you have $500 to $1,000, what I want you to take away is the thought process. Is the fundamentals. Your situation is more than likely different. So you might have less than $500 to invest. You might only have $300, or you might have more than $1,000 to invest. You might have $5,000 or even $10,000. When I started out, I had between $5,000 to $10,000 to invest. But like I said, you can take this information and then apply it to your own situation and start building your own wealth. So some of the things that I want to talk about are going to be stocks, ETFs, bonds. I'm going to skip the index funds because with the more popular index funds, you're going to have to put down a large amount of capital just to start investing in them. For example, if you take the popular Vanguard S&P 500 index fund, which is the VFINX, the minimum amount is $3,000 to start investing in that fund. So that's why we will leave the index funds to the side and we will focus on the ETFs. I'm also going to look at aggressive and conservative portfolios, both $500 and $1,000. We'll also talk about the first of a kind and how you can be emotionally sound when you invest in the stock market. We'll also talk about crypto a little bit, so let's just jump in. So I have my handy list of portfolios with me, both $500 and $1,000, broken out between aggressive and conservative. The first one we will look at is the aggressive $500 portfolio. Now, when I say aggressive, I'm talking about how risky and how risk-averse are you when it comes to investing. Because the more riskier investments are going to be stocks. Fixed income assets such as bonds are going to bring stability to your portfolio. So in a bull market, everything is looking great, stocks are shooting up. But in a bear market, stocks are dipping down. And your bond, your fixed income assets, that will provide stability to your portfolio. The first thing that you want to pay attention to when it comes to your $500 aggressive portfolio is the VOO ETF, which is the Vanguard 500 Index Fund ETF. You want to buy one of them. Currently, it's priced at $366. And the Vanguard S&P 500 is an index of the 500 biggest companies in the US. The next one you want to look at is the VXUS, which currently is only about $52. You only want to buy one share of that ETF also. The VXUS is the Vanguard Total International Stock Index Fund ETF. And since this is a total international ETF, you're also capturing high quality companies outside of the US. The last ETF that you want to have in your $500 aggressive portfolio is the BND ETF, which stands for the Vanguard Total Bond Market Index Fund ETF. Now look at this. So we have the $366 for the VOO, $52 for VXUS, which is the International Stock Index Fund ETF, and then you have $72, which is what one share of BND costs right now. If you break it out by how risky your portfolio is, your fixed income assets, which is the BND, is 15% of your portfolio. Now, the other 85% consists of stocks, both the S&P 500 stocks and then also the international stocks. So with the S&P 500 ETF and then also the VXUS, which is the total international ETF, you have that immediate diversification in high quality companies. And then with the BND, you have that fixed income asset that provides stability to your portfolio. Now, this is an aggressive portfolio because only 15% of your portfolio is in a stable fixed income asset, which is the BND. And if you add up all these three ETFs, you'll pay about $490. So you still have $10 left to buy a fraction of a share, or you can also invest it into crypto. If we move over to the conservative $500 portfolio, we're gonna make some slight changes. So we're gonna keep the VOO, that's the foundation of your portfolio, and we're gonna buy two BND shares, which will bring your fixed income assets to 28% and your stocks to 72%. If you add this all up, you get a little over $500, you get $510. The reason why this is more on the conservative side is because you have 28% of your portfolio in a fixed income asset. The way to think about fixed income assets, I like to use the John Bogle method. This method says that whatever your age is needs to be your percentage in fixed income assets such as bonds, certificates of deposits, savings accounts, etc. So when we look at the bonds, I'm going to take 30 years as the average. I'm assuming that we are all 30 years. Now, depending on how risk averse or how risky you want to get with your investing, you don't need to put 30% in bonds. You can go even less or even a little bit more. So let's say you are 30, but you only want to have 20% in fixed income assets. Just tailor your portfolio to hit that correct percentage. Now, like you have already noticed with the conservative portfolio, we got rid of the total international ETF. If we now move over to the aggressive 1000 portfolio, now it gets a little bit more fun, a little bit more interesting, because we're going to introduce some individual stocks. So we're still going to keep the same ETFs, but we're going to add some additional stocks to it also. I want you to add two growth stocks and two dividend paying stocks of your choosing, but make sure you still hit that $1,000. It's fine to go slightly over or slightly under, but try to keep it in that $1,000 range. So in my list, we have VOO, which is the foundation of the portfolio. We have one VX US, which is the international stock ETF. We have two BND. We have one Tesla, which is a growth stock. We have one Amazon stock, also a growth stock. And then we have two dividend paying stocks. The first one is Realty Income, and the second one is Nike. So looking at the cost, VOO 366, VX US $52, BND since we have two, 144, Tesla 194 currently, Amazon $99, Realty Income $64, and Nike 105. If you add all these up, you're a little bit over 1,000, you're at $1,024. But like I said, these are the two individual dividend paying stocks and growth stocks that I choose. You can switch them out and pick your favorites. With aggressive $1,000 portfolio, also similar to the aggressive $500 portfolio, the aggressive one, we have 14% in fixed income assets because we bought two BND ETFs. Moving over to the more conservative $1,000 portfolio, we're gonna keep the same stocks and ETFs, but we're gonna make some slight changes. What I'm gonna do is we're only gonna have one growth stock and one dividend paying stock. And we're gonna go up on our fixed income asset because we wanna get it into that 30% range. So this is what it will look like. We're still gonna keep VOO, one, which is 366. VXUS, we're gonna keep one. We're gonna up BND from two to four. We're gonna have four BND ETFs. Tesla, and I'm keeping Realty Income. Realty Income is a monthly dividend paying stock. So you'll have the benefit of seeing monthly dividend payments deposited in your account. With this conservative portfolio, your fixed income assets, your bonds, are at 30%, and then 70% is at stocks. If you add up all your capital, you will spend about $964 with this conservative portfolio. So you still have a little bit of leg room. You still have a couple of dollars to invest in a different security. With the portfolios that I just talked about, you can take those, both the aggressive and the conservative, and then apply it to your own situation, of course. So you might want to fudge some of the numbers a little bit, maybe switch out a stock here or there, and then make it your own. You might be thinking, okay, I like these portfolios, I'm ready to start investing. Where do I start? Nowadays, it's extremely easy to start investing because all you need is a brokerage account. Some of the more popular ones are going to be Robinhood, Ally, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade. You have a plethora of options. All you have to do is go to the particular website, fill out your information, get your login information, deposit your capital, and you're ready to go. Make sure that you only invest when you're starting out during business hours. Don't trade during after hours, either pre-market or after the market closes, because that's another level of risk that if you're just starting out investing, you don't want to mess with. Another cool thing about brokerage firms nowadays is that you don't have to pay commission fees when you buy or sell shares. Back when I first started out investing, I had to pay $5.99 to $6.95 just to buy and sell stocks. But nowadays, brokerage firms have different ways to make money, such as order routing, but that allows them to give you commission-free trading. And even if you have less than $500 to invest, you might only have $100 to invest. Still go ahead and start investing because you can buy fractional shares. So you don't even need to buy a whole share. You can buy a fractional share of, let's say, a company such as Apple or even Amazon. If a company pays a dividend, if you buy a fraction of that share, you also get a fraction of that dividend. So even if you only have 50 bucks, 100 bucks, you want to invest in Coke, but you don't have enough money, go ahead and buy the fractional share, and then you also get that fractional dividend. Another good thing about investing with a low amount of capital is that emotionally, you'll be able to handle the ups and downs of the stock market. Because if you only have a small amount of capital invested, you're going to be less inclined to make immediate decisions when it comes to selling stock when you see the value of your stock dip down. Now, what's not going to happen with only $500 to $1,000 is that you're not going to become a millionaire overnight. So you do have to be realistic when it comes to investing a small amount of capital. There are stories out there where somebody had only $10,000 to invest. They started investing in penny stocks or they started doing some day trading and they became millionaires. You have to be skeptical when you hear those stories. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. It's best to look at investing as a long-term journey. So you start out with a small amount of capital, might be 100 bucks, might be 500, might be 1,000. You invest your capital, you learn the process of investing, and then you just add more capital to invest on a frequent basis. Also called dollar cost averaging, but that's how you want to approach investing. Don't look at it as a get rich quick scheme. Look at it as you're building your wealth over the long term. And when you're starting out with a small amount of capital, you'll be able to go through the ups and downs because it's fine to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, even myself. Every now and then I might buy a stock that ends up being a dud. But since I'm diversified, I have my capital in multiple securities. Even if I take one hit, overall, I'm still sleeping fine. You might also be thinking, you know what? Forget the stock market. I'll take my $500 to $1,000 and I'll invest it in the crypto market. I'm always going to be the type of person to tell you, yes, go ahead and do it, but make sure you take calculated risk. Because even myself, I'm also invested in the crypto market. What I would recommend is that you have a separate budget for the crypto market. So keep them separate. Make sure you invest in the stock market, but then if you want to, you can also invest in the crypto market. And just keep in mind that the crypto market is also a lot more speculative than the stock market. Because even if you look at the stock market, when it comes to some of the companies that we invest in, the price of the stock should be based on the earnings of a company, how well the company is performing. But when it comes to the crypto market, there are no underlying metrics that you can analyze in order to figure out how much a crypto is actually worth. So it's all based on speculation. So you're ready to invest your $500 to $1,000. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back because this is a big deal. You might not look at it like that. You might think that, oh, I'm only investing a small amount of capital. But don't look at it like that because it's a mindset shift. You're doing something totally new. You're starting to invest in the stock market. And also, you might like it so much and get addicted to it, but in a good way, that you will try to find other ways and other methods of generating some capital in order to invest in the stock market and start building your wealth. I've noticed that there's a lot of confusion when it comes to the different investing accounts that you have access to, and then also the different retirement accounts that you have access to investing for your retirement. So I'm particularly talking about accounts such as the 401k, the IRA.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
The Roth versions of those accounts, the traditional brokerage account, and then also the self-employment retirement accounts. What I want to talk about are some of the differences between these accounts. things that you need to pay attention to. Also, the limitations with some of these accounts, and then the disadvantages and some of the advantages. And then also some of the things that you have to think about when it comes to taxes and the employee-sponsored investment and retirement accounts versus the ones that you can open outside of your employment. Let's talk about the first one, which is the 401k. Now, a 401k is an employer-sponsored retirement account. Not all employers offer a 401k, but most of them do. Previously, employers offered pension plans to their employees, but they all started opting in for 401ks instead. With a pension plan, managing your investments was being done for you. But with a 401k, it's being pushed to the employee to manage their own investments. With a 401k, you have a slew of options in different securities that you can invest in, such as mutual funds, index funds, ETFs, and even target date funds. The cool thing about target date funds is that you have an investment that automatically rebalances itself the closer it gets to your retirement age. So let's say you have a target date fund that says target date fund 2050. That means that the closer we're getting to the year 2050, that target date fund is automatically going to rebalance itself into a more stable, more conservative investment fund. Now, some additional cool things about a 401k is that most companies match your 401k contribution. So you might see something such as if you put in money, the company is going to match 4% dollar for dollar. For example, let's say you make $50,000 as your salary and you invest 4% of your salary into your 401k, 4% of 50K, $2,000. If a company matches dollar for dollar, they'll also add an additional $2,000 to your 401k. So you added the first $2,000, they add a second $2,000, now you have $4K in your retirement account. Now, you might also see something like a company matches up to 4%, but they only do 50 cents on the dollar. So you invest the dollar and they add 50 cents up to 4%. So with that same example, if you make 50K and you invest 4%, which is 2K, the company will match 50 cents on your dollar. So they will match an additional $1,000. Even though the company matches your contribution, there's still a vesting period that you have to look at. Because even if the company matches you dollar for dollar or dollar 50 cents, even 25 cents, if you look at the fine print, you will see that you need to work at a company for a few years before you're 100% vested. It might be 4 years, it might be 5 years. Every company is a little bit different. You will be limited when it comes to different options you have in investing in different funds or securities. These are always going to be limited by what the company has chosen for the employees. So you're going to have a limited amount of index funds to invest in. You're going to have a limited amount of even stocks, ETFs, or target date funds. Being limited by the number of options you have to invest in a 401k could be a good thing, but it could also be a bad thing. For an investor like myself, that's actually a bad thing because I want to be able to invest in whatever I want to invest in because I do the research. But if you're somebody that's new to investing or you're not that well versed when it comes to the stock market, then having a smaller list of options is probably best for you because otherwise you're going to get paralyzed when you have way too many options to choose from. Some employers also offer you a discount if you buy the company shares. With companies, you always want to do the research to know that you're investing in a high quality company. But I'm assuming that if you're working for the company, more than likely it's a great company to invest in also. There is a limit to how much you can invest in your 401k. Currently, it's a little over $20,000. Every single year, it gets raised up a little bit. And then also, if you're older, you can invest some additional capital in order to catch up. Currently, it's over $6,000. Some confusion happens when people talk about a traditional 401k versus a Roth 401k. So everything is pretty much the same between the two with the options you have when it comes to choosing your investments. But you are taxed differently when it comes to the traditional 401k and then the Roth 401k. The easiest way to remember this is that with a Roth 401k, you're investing with after-tax dollars. And with a traditional 401k, you're investing with pre-tax dollars. With a traditional 401k, when you hit retirement age and you start taking out money out of your retirement account, that's when you're going to get taxed. With a Roth IRA, you're already taxed on the money that you're making. And then the money that's left, that's the money that you invest in your Roth IRA. And then when you hit retirement age, the money that you take out of your retirement account is not taxed at that moment. So which option should you go with? The traditional 401k or the Roth 401k? Now, the cool thing about this is that you can have both. So you're not limited by having only one or the other. You can have both. But one thing to think about is if you hit that retirement age, are you planning on being at a higher tax bracket? Because keep in mind, with a traditional 401k, you get taxed when you take out your money during retirement age. So if you're envisioning yourself to be at a higher tax bracket, you might want to opt in for the Roth IRA instead. So it comes down to whatever works best for your situation at your retirement age. The money that you invest in your 401k, can you take it out before retirement age? Retirement age being 59 and a half. You want to be careful with taking any type of money out of your 401k because you might get hit with a penalty. So if you take money out of your 401k before retirement age, you will have to pay taxes more than likely, and then you will also get hit with a 10% penalty. There are some situations where you are able to take some money out of your retirement account. For example, if you're buying your first home, if it's a medical issue that you need to pay for, there are some exceptions where you can take money out and not be hit with a penalty. But definitely double check the rules when you want to take out any type of money out of your retirement account. You can also borrow some money from your 401k, but you will have to pay it back into your own 401k. But definitely check the fine print on some of these rules because they could slightly change. Now let's look at the next one, the IRA, the individual retirement account. You got the traditional IRA, but then you also got the Roth IRA. Now, the IRA is really interesting because if you look at the 401k, you are limited in what you can invest in based on options that have been chosen for you. But with the IRA and the Roth IRA, you have the whole investing world available to you. So if you open up a IRA account, you can automatically invest in all the stocks, bonds, ETF, mutual funds, index funds, everything that's out there. That's a great benefit that the IRA has that the 401k does not have. The limitation of the IRA compared to the 401k though is that the amount that you can invest in your IRA per year is a lot lower than the 401k. Currently, it's over $6,000. Even with the IRA and the 401k, you're not limited by having either or. So you can have different 401k accounts in your name. Then you can also have different IRAs such as the Roth IRA and then the traditional IRA in your name. The thing that you need to keep in mind is that, yes, you can have a Roth IRA and even a traditional IRA, but both still need to add up to your yearly limit in how much you can invest into your IRAs. So you can have both the 401ks and the IRAs. You're not limited by having either or. A good investor will have both because you might max out your 401k and you might have some additional money to invest. So go ahead and open up an IRA and invest that money in your IRA, which also gives you total access to the stock market, and you're not limited to invest in specific securities. Now, same thing with the traditional IRA versus the Roth IRA. With the traditional IRA, you invest with pre-tax money, and then with the Roth IRA, you invest with after-tax dollars. So you will not get taxed when you take money out during retirement, and then with the traditional IRA, you will get taxed at your tax bracket when you take money out during retirement age. And then, of course, some of the same penalties that you see with the 401k, those also apply to your Roth IRA and your traditional IRA. So you're not supposed to take out money before retirement because you'll get hit with the penalty and you might have to pay some additional taxes also. Keep in mind that the IRA accounts are not employer-sponsored accounts. So you're not going to get an employer match with these accounts. And also, if you want to open up an IRA or a Roth IRA account, you'll have to do that outside of work. You'll have to go to one of the big name brokers such as Fidelity, E-Trade, Ally, TD Ameritrade, etc. One thing you need to be careful with is having way too many investment accounts and retirement accounts open. So you work at one company, you open up a 401k, you end up moving to a different company after a year, you open up a new 401k, and then you move to a third company, you have a new 401k, and in the meantime, you also opened up a couple of IRA accounts here and there. What you need to start doing is condensing them and making sure that you don't have too many 401ks out there, because it's going to get confusing during tax time And it's also going to be hard to keep up with having so many different 401ks open. Also, if you leave a 401k open at a previous employer, more than likely you're going to have to pay some additional management fees, and that's going to come out of your investment. So the best thing to do is roll over your 401k either into the new employer's 401k, or you can also roll over your 401k into your IRA. Make sure it matches. So you want your traditional 401k to roll over into a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA, and you want your Roth 401k to roll over into your new employer's Roth 401k. Now, whatever you roll it into, make sure that it works for you, because yes, you can take your 401k and roll it over into the new company's 401k, but then you will also be limited by what the company offers. Or you can take that 401k and then roll it over into an IRA, which pretty much means you will be able to skirt that 6,500 or 6,000 plus limitation for the Roth IRA. And then you'll be able to invest in whatever you want to invest in. So all this might still be a little bit confusing because you're just starting with investing and you're like, okay, Gio, I just want to invest. I have X amount of money. I just want to start investing. I don't want to know about penalties. I don't want to know about different rules. I don't want to know about rollovers. What should I do? Well, the easiest thing you can do is start a traditional brokerage account, also just called a brokerage account, with a company like Robinhood, and even Ally, TD Ameritrade, etc., etc. Just open up a brokerage account. You don't have to worry about penalties, selling your shares, selling your stock, and then get hit with a fee. Because with a traditional brokerage account, you can buy and sell. You can day trade, you can swing trade. Now also, with a traditional brokerage account, you can open up a margin account. With a margin account, you're allowed to invest with borrowed money. Investing in itself is already very risky, but then tacking on borrowed money, that means that you're bringing your investing risk to a new level. Investing with a margin account and investing with borrowed money, as long as your funds don't fall below a certain level, you will not get a margin call. Whenever you get a margin call, this pretty much means that you need to get your funds up back to a specific level by either selling the investments that you own in your margin account, or you need to deposit some new capital in your margin account. But yes, investing with a margin account should only be left for the professionals out there. Don't start opening up margin accounts if you're new to investing. So even if I think about all these different accounts, the way I would do it is, if you have a employer-sponsored 401k and they offer a specific match, I would definitely start there first. Make sure you are invested in your 401k because you're going to get the match. Then the next thing I would do is open up a IRA and invest some additional money into my IRA, which will give me the option to invest in whatever I want to invest in. I'm not limited with investing in only specific securities like with the 401k. And then once I have that set up, I'll open up a traditional brokerage account, and I can use that traditional brokerage account to pretty much experiment and have fun with investing. For example, you can open up a Robinhood account, deposit some money in there, start buying shares, fractional shares, dividend paying stocks, and see how you're able to fare in the stock market and grow your wealth. If you're self-employed, you also have access to similar retirement accounts. So some of these are going to be the solo 401k, the SEP, which is the simplified employee pension, the simple IRA, and then the defined benefit plan. Now, if you enjoy my content on stock market investing, then be sure to follow my podcast and check out my show notes below for exclusive premium content that will take your investing to the next level. In the show notes, I also link to my books, my Instagram so you can follow me, and my YouTube channel. I'll catch you in the next episode.